The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Carrie Lawson from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from Oprah Magazine. We are starting off in Lifestyle with 33 spring cleaning tips to add to your checklist. Consider this your essential guide to getting it all done. And this article is by Bridget Early. Longer days, sunshine, and blooming flowers can only mean one thing. It's time to bust open your windows and, perhaps less thrilling, your cleaning supplies and start that big spring clean. Though no doubt rewarding, spring cleaning can even help you manage stress. The idea of tackling every dust bunny, stubborn stain, and cluttered nook and cranny can feel overwhelming. So much so that you may wonder, where do you even start when you have a closet in serious need of organizing, and carpets that look not so new, plus a whole host of other things on your to-do list? We get it. Which is why we asked a variety of experts and professionals for their best spring cleaning tips, from how to do-it-yourself cleaning solutions that work as well as the real deal, to making these spots that you're probably overlooking, the washer slash dryer, blinds, and ceiling fan, to name a few, shine. You can even consider the following to be your unofficial checklist for what to do during spring cleaning. Go slide by slide to get every inch of your home or apartment or workplace impossibly clean, or start with the room that requires the most attention, like, say, the kitchen, and go from there, tackling as many projects as you can. Or, if you're really determined to do your spring cleaning in a day, you may want to recruit a couple of friends or family members in exchange for a free dinner or a bottle of wine. Either way, these tips, tricks, and out-of-the-box ideas will help you master the mess once and for all. Number one, first, overhaul your cleaning supplies. Before you get started, consider giving your cleaning supplies an overhaul. Tossing the toxins is the first step to creating a cleaner, healthier, and safer home, says Marley Nelson, co-founder of Branch Basics. According to the American Lung Association, it's particularly important to avoid air fresheners and choose products that do not contain or have reduced amounts of fragrances, irritants, volatile organic compounds, VOCs, and flammable ingredients. 2. Then start small. If your microwave has stains and residue buildup, lemons can help give this workhorse kitchen appliance a thorough cleaning, says Michael Dimopoulos, Thumbtack Pro and founder of Lazy Susan's Cleaning Service. In a bowl, combine 1 cup of water, 1 cup of vinegar, and 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. Place the bowl in the center of an empty microwave and set on high for 2 minutes. Wipe down with a damp cloth. Number 3. Freshen your musty wardrobe with a vodka spritz. Ready to swap your winter coats for your denim jackets? If your spring and summer clothes have been tucked away all winter, combat any musty smells with a homemade cleaning spray. Simply put vodka, any inexpensive brand will do, into an empty spray bottle. Then spritz onto clothes to dampen, says Nelson. Let it sit and then wash the garment as usual. 4. And don't forget your jewelry. Vodka is a great cleaning solution for your accessories, too, says Nelson. Soak gold and silver jewelry, never delicate pearls or precious gems, in vodka, and then use a clean toothbrush to loosen any debris. 5. Use old T-shirts to wipe down mirrors. When sorting clothes, set aside any old cotton t-shirts. They are excellent for giving mirrors a streak and lint-free clean, says Larry Patterson, franchise owner of Glass Doctor, a neighborly company. For a chemical-free clean, mix white vinegar, distilled water, and a few drops of an essential oil. Shake, spritz, then wipe dry. 6. Give all old shoes the baking soda treatment. Have a pair of unbelievably comfortable sneakers you simply can't part with? Or maybe the kids' cleats are causing a foul odor in your front hall closet? For an easy refresh, simply sprinkle baking soda inside the offending shoes and let sit overnight, says Nelson. The next morning, all you have to do is shake out the powder. 7. Gently use coffee filters on TV screens. If your TV screen is littered with fingerprints and smudges, it can affect the picture quality. But these expensive pieces of tech require a delicate hand. For a streak-free clean that won't scratch, glide a coffee filter over the screen, says Nelson. This trick works for computer screens and tablets, too. 8. Disinfect your knife block. The best way to prevent bacteria growth within your knife block is to thoroughly clean and dry knives before returning to storage. But it's also a good idea to do a more vigorous cleaning once a year, says Viola Wusthof, CEO of Wusthof for a deep clean, and that's spelled W-U with an umlaut, S-T-H-O-F. Submerge the knife block in a mixture of 1 gallon of lukewarm water and 1 tablespoon of household bleach. Let the wooden block soak in the mixture for 2 minutes, then turn upside down onto a dry towel to air dry completely. 9. Run white vinegar through your dishwasher. Even appliances that exist to clean other items in your home need their own cleaning from time to time, particularly if you have hard water, which can cause calcium buildup. To give your dishwasher a refresh, dump a couple of cups of white vinegar in the machine and run a hot cycle, says Nelson. This does more than make the appliance sparkle. It keeps things running smoothly for longer. 10. And your tea kettle. You can also use white vinegar to remove any hard water stains from your tea kettle, says Jennifer Parnell, co-founder of Humble Suds. Pour equal parts water and vinegar, about 1 cup each, into the tea kettle. When water comes to a boil, turn off the heat and let the mixture sit undisturbed for a few hours. Pour out the mixture and clean as usual with dish soap. 11. Deep clean your coffee maker using denture tabs. If a cup of coffee is more your speed, a basic drugstore item can give you dutiful machine a heavy clean. Fill the back of the auto drip tank with warm water. Then drop 2 denture tablets into the liquid and let them fully dissolve, says Leanne Stapf, chief operating officer at the cleaning authority. Run the coffee pot through a regular cycle, then repeat the entire cycle using just warm water. 12. Plus your fireplace. Dirty, blocked, cracked, and leaking chimneys, flues, and venting not only present a fire hazard, but can also negatively impact the day-to-day air quality in your home, says Richard Ceresi, franchise owner of AirServe, a neighborly company. Richard's last name is spelled C-I-R-E-S-I, and AirServe is A-I-R-E, and then the other word serve is just S-E-R-V. The good news? You don't have to do much to stay on top of this. The safest course of action is to schedule a routine annual cleaning and inspection. 13. Dust your ceiling fans. Cleaning all that gunk off the blades of your ceiling fans is a dirty job. Before you get started, protect your space by placing a drop cloth or an old sheet on the floor, covering an area about twice the span of the blades, says Jenny Varney, brand manager of Molly Made, a neighborly company. Then use an extendable duster to wipe the span of the blades, pick up the drop cloth, shake outside, and launder. 14. Clean windows on a shady day. For best results, clean your windows on a shady day. When windows are warm, the cleaning solution will streak, says Lyle Kvarnlov. That's Kvarnlov. Product services manager at Marvin Windows and Doors. And to cut down on scrubbing, soak the glass surface with a mixture of clean water and mild soap to break down any dirt or debris. Then apply a mild cleaning product with microfiber cleaning cloth. Pro tip, a deep cleaning brush or a toothbrush works well to reach cracks and crevices where buildup may occur. 15. Purify the air. There's a German concept called Luften, which means to lift into the air. It's a way to freshen your home and improve air quality. It's simple. Just leave the windows open for a few hours to release the stagnant air that filled your house all winter. Take this opportunity to swap out dirty filters and grab an electrostatic duster to clean grime from ceiling fans. Parts of this article were edited due to time. Moving on, but staying with the cleaning, spring cleaning theme, we have 15 homemade cleaners the pros swear by. These natural alternatives are just as effective. This article is by Bridget Early. If there's one thing we've all done a lot of this year, it's clean. As we all sanitize and disinfect, well, everything in our homes, stores can't keep up with this demand, and products like Lysol bleach and paper towels have been flying off shelves. So what can you use if you can't find what you're looking for at the store or simply prefer more natural cleaning products? Sometimes the best cleaning solution is one you have right in your pantry. You can easily make a wide range of homemade cleaners, from all-purpose cleaning sprays for granite counters to scouring pastes for showers and bathroom tiles, to hardwood floor polishes with household staples like vinegar, baking soda, peroxide, and stress-relieving essential oils. And yes, the green cleaning experts we spoke to say these do-it-yourself alternatives really do work for cleaning and sanitizing. Just note, if you are specifically looking for a disinfectant, the most reliable are those labeled as such, as they are the only products that have been properly tested and registered with the EPA. For simple cleaning purposes, though, the homemade products on this list are just as effective as conventional cleaning solutions, but have an added bonus. They're much gentler on your body and the environment, plus they're especially great for those with little kids and pets. Bathroom cleaner. To make a bathroom cleaner that works just as well on your tub and shower as it does on the tile floors, fill a jar with 1.5 cups of baking soda, half a cup of warm water, half a cup of liquid soap like Dawn, and 2 tablespoons of white distilled vinegar. For extra grimy grout, you can also add a touch of lemon juice. Laundry detergent. To make a laundry detergent that's safe to use in HE machines, you need just 2 ingredients, Sal suds and baking soda. For a single load, combine 2 tablespoons of Sal suds and 1/4 cup of baking soda to help brighten whites, and add a quarter cup of white vinegar, too. Carpet cleaner. If your four-legged friend tracks some dirt on your carpet, mix 1 teaspoon of clear dish soap and 1 cup of warm water in a bucket. Blot dry, pour the soap mixture on the stain, and let it sit for 10 minutes. Gently scrub, repeating until clean. For more stubborn spills like pet urine or red wine, learn how to make a stronger do-it-yourself carpet cleaner here. And I'll provide that in another article. Homemade all-purpose cleaning spray with vinegar. To make a spray that will clean just about anything, countertops, the sink, light fixtures, and more, mix 13 ounces of hot water, 1/2 cup of white vinegar, 15 drops of grapefruit essential oil, 10 drops of lavender essential oil, and 7 drops of lemon essential oil in a spray bottle, says Kimberly Button, a certified green living expert. Do-it-yourself all-purpose cleaner without vinegar. Vinegar, lemon, and other acidic ingredients can leave etching or dull spots on soft surfaces, like marble, and erode the sealant on granite counters. For a spray that's gentler but still gets the job done, combine 1/4 cup of vodka, 2 3/4 cup distilled water, and regular tap water can cause streaking, 1/4 teaspoon lavender essential oil, and 1/8 teaspoon tea tree essential oil in a spray bottle, says Casey Shishenki, founder and CEO of Reds Gone Green. Window and glass cleaner. There's on special green ingredient that you'll give will give you a streak-free clean, says Button, and that's cornstarch. In a large bowl, combine 1 cup of hot water and 1 cup of rubbing alcohol. Then whisk in 4 tablespoons of cornstarch. Transfer to a spray bottle and spritz onto windows, mirrors, or glass before wiping clean with a microfiber cloth. Hardwood floor cleaner. All you need to make your wood floor shine is a little bit of dish soap, says Brett Miller, VP of Technical Standards Training and Certification for the National Wood Flooring Association. Just mix 2 tablespoons of dish soap with 1 gallon of warm water, then mop. Stainless steel cleaner. To safely clean stainless steel or chrome, all you need is a little dish soap and water, says Ron Schimmick, president of Mr. Appliance, a neighborly company. For convenience, mix the 2 ingredients in a spray bottle, spritz onto the surface, and then use a clean microfiber cloth to scrub in the direction of the grain. Oven cleaner. Mix enough liquid dish soap, baking soda, coarse salt, and distilled white vinegar to make a thick paste, says Shirley Langridge, manager of Maggie's Oven Services. For deodorizing powder, add 3 to 4 drops of vanilla or lavender essential oil, too. Then apply the paste to the interior of the oven and let it sit overnight. A few hours will do in a pinch. Next, soak a sponge in warm water and scrub thoroughly. Finally, spray the entire oven with white vinegar and wipe once more with a clean cloth. Microwave cleaner. Save yourself some elbow grease by placing a bowl filled with a mix of 1/4 cup of white vinegar and 1 cup of water in the center of the microwave, says Schimmick. Then heat the mixture for 5 minutes on the highest setting. Once the bowl has cooled down, dip a cloth into the liquid and use it to wipe away any stains and splatters. Garbage disposal deodorizer. To deodorize one of the toughest working appliances in your kitchen, mix baking soda, white vinegar, and tea tree essential oil in a small bowl, says Doyle James, president of Mr. Reuter Plumbing, a neighborly company. It's fine to eyeball it. Pour the entire mixture down the drain while the disposal is on and let the appliance run for 1 minute. Finish with 1 to 2 drops of orange essential oil. Toilet bowl cleaner. For a squeaky clean toilet, mix 1 cup of baking soda with 15 drops of tea tree essential oil and 15 drops of lemon or orange essential oil, says James. Let the mixture sit in the bowl for 30 minutes and then scrub with a bowl brush before flushing. Air freshener. To add a pleasing aroma to any room of the house, add 1 cup of hot water to a spray bottle and then add 1 bunch of chopped sage leaves, 1 cup of distilled white vinegar, and 1/4 teaspoon of salt, says Burton or Button. Let sit in a cool, dark place for 12 hours before using. Mattress and shoe freshener. Baking soda is a fantastically effective deodorizer for musty mattresses and smelly shoes, says Marley Nelson, co-founder of Branch Basics. Simply sprinkle baking soda on the surface of the mattress or inside shoes and let it sit for at least a few hours. For mattresses and other upholstered furniture, vacuum any lingering powder. For shoes, shake outdoors. Laundry spray. If your sweaters have been in storage, your pants got lost in the back of your drawer, or there's yellowing under the arms of your favorite white tea. Tackle any musty smells with a homemade vodka spray, says Nelson. Just put inexpensive vodka into an empty spray bottle, spritz onto cloths to dampen, and let sit, then wash as usual. And here is that accompanying article on the carpet cleaners. These do-it-yourself carpet cleaners will get out the toughest stains. Red wine is no match for these. This article is by Bridget Early. A rug does wonders for a room. It provides cushion underfoot, muffles sound, and instantly makes a space feel complete. But if you have pets or kids, caring for a carpet can feel like an uphill battle because spills happen. So if your toddler tracked mud through the house or you accidentally tipped that glass of red wine, don't sweat it. The right do-it-yourself carpet cleaner will do just the trick. These safe and effective do-it-yourself carpet cleaners, courtesy of the cleaning authority, will have your rug looking like new in no time. No chemicals or special ingredients required, just a few household staples. How to make a do-it-yourself carpet cleaner for regular spills. The ingredients are 1 teaspoon of clear dish soap and 1 cup of warm water. Instructions: mix clear dish soap with warm water in a small bucket. 2. If the stain is fresh, use a rag or a paper towel to blot up, don't rub, which can press the stain deeper into the fibers of your carpet. As much excess liquid as possible. Pour the soap and water mixture onto the stain and let it sit for approximately 10 minutes. Gently scrub the stain and repeat until clean. For tough stains on light carpets, try this. Ingredients: baking soda, 2 tablespoons of hydrogen peroxide, and 1 tablespoon of dishwashing liquid. Instructions: if the stain is fresh, use a rag or a paper towel to blot up, don't rub, which can press the stain deeper into the fibers of your carpet, as much excess liquid as possible. Sprinkle baking soda, an effective deodorizer, and whitening agent onto the stain, using just enough to cover it, and let sit for about 10 minutes. Vacuum any excess. Mix dishwashing liquid and hydrogen peroxide and pour on the stain. Let the mixture sit for a few minutes and then blot dry. Repeat until the stain lifts. Here's what to use for tough stains on dark carpets. Ingredients: salt, cold water. Instructions: if the stain is fresh, use a rag or a paper towel to blot up, don't rub, which can press the stain deeper into the fibers of your carpet, as much excess liquid as possible. Sprinkle salt onto the stain, using just enough to cover it, and let sit for a few minutes. Rinse with cold water and blot dry. Repeat until the stain lifts. For Oprah Insider today, Oprah on the Mother Wound. And this article is by Oprah Winfrey. Hi, everybody. A few months ago, we included a simple question in our Oprah Daily newsletter. What's the most devastating thing your mother ever said to you? And whoa, did we get some responses. Within days, hundreds of you wrote in. We ended up with 86 pages of heart-wrenching answers. We knew we had to honor your stories and find a way to bring a little healing to you all. And so this Wednesday at 4 p.m., we are launching our latest The Life You Want class called The Mother Wound. When I sat down with Brooke Shields to talk about her own famously troubled relationship with her mom, she told me, "You either spend your whole life running away from or towards your mother, and that's what this class is all about." It's no secret that I had a complicated relationship with my mother, Vernita. There's something about the mother-daughter dynamic that has the power to cut deep and sharp and raw, much more so than other relationships. It's now been 6 years since she passed, and I'm grateful that despite the pain that marred much of my early life, we reconciled, and I was able to be with her in her final days, along with my sister, Pat. I know many of you have wonderful relationships with your mothers, and many of you have mixed ones, not all good or bad. Whatever this relationship is or was like for you, I hope you find something in our class that speaks to you, and if you need it, sets you on the path to peace. Have a great week, everyone. Go well. Over in wellness, why are so many women testing this fertility hormone? People can't stop talking about their AMH levels, but these biological clock tests may do more harm than good. This article is by Rosie Hopegood. Sometime during the pandemic, I noticed a trend among my 30-something friends. It seemed like everyone was suddenly talking about and testing their anti-Mullerian hormone AMH, sometimes referred to as an egg timer or a biological clock test. I'd never heard of this fertility hormone before, but it wasn't long before my Instagram feed was flooded with ads for at-home versions or swanky concierge centers that seemed designed to attract millennial women drawn to glossy-leaved plants and mid-century modern furniture. According to Amy Ivezide, M.D., an OBGYN and reproductive endocrinologist who hosts the popular podcast The Egg Whisperer, AMH is a hormone secreted by cells that surround our eggs, which declines as we get older and becomes undetectable once we're in menopause. Unfortunately for so many women, our AMH disappears before our longing for a child disappears. Essentially, an AMH test can indicate your ovarian reserve, i.e. the number of eggs you have left in the bank, which admittedly sounds like a solid starting point for assessing your fertility. Plenty of direct-to-consumer sites are running with that notion, making bold claims about the test's ability to predict how likely you are to conceive and help you plan when to start a family. Medical experts beg to differ. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists' official guidance clearly states that AMH testing should not be ordered or used to counsel women who are not infertile about their reproductive status and future fertility potential. Yikes! None of my friends who were getting tested were infertile, and many of them were basing ideas of their future fertility potential on the result. So what was going on? Was there any point in knowing your AMH at all? It just tells me how many eggs are available for ovarian stimulation in fertility treatments. Nothing else, says Lucky Sekhon, that's S-E-K-H-O-N, M-D, a reproductive endocrinologist and OBGYN based at RMA of New York. It's not a marker of egg quality, and therefore it's not really a marker of your natural fertility. A scientific meta-analysis published in 2021 examined the outcomes of 11 studies and came to the same conclusion, stating that AMH levels have poor predictive value for natural pregnancy and that low serum AMH levels are not associated with reduced fertility. Eva Zade explains, it's the closest thing to a semen analysis, which tests sperm count, morphology, and motility. Women have, but just because you have eggs doesn't mean that they're going to be good. I use it as a test to project what a woman's fertility could look like in the future, but I can't tell her, your AMH is great, it means you're fertile, because there are so many other things that go into what fertility means for a woman. More on that below. Although AMH has been shown to have little bearing on the ability to conceive naturally, it is a key indicator of how well someone is likely to respond to the ovarian stimulation part of IVF or egg freezing. Low AMH means that the ovaries will generally produce fewer eggs in each cycle, making the process less efficient, meaning women may need multiple rounds to get the same number of eggs as someone with higher AMH. But whether those eggs will actually successfully turn into embryos that are genetically normal is more based on your age, says Sekhon. This is definitely not the message from many companies pushing these tests. Last August, an academic study highlighted the extent of the misleading information out there. Drawing on 27 different English language websites in English-speaking countries, 74% contained statements that the test results would indicate a woman's likelihood of conceiving, and 41% claimed that the results would enable women to adjust their reproductive timeline. I find this outrageous. It's blatant, false, and misleading information, says Tessa Kopp, a postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Sydney School of Public Health, who led the study. Women are making very significant life decisions based on this invalid test. I advise women not to do it because it can cause false reassurance or needless anxiety. And there's one more red flag, in case you needed one. Your MHA number changes all the time. I call it the always meandering hormone, says Eva Zede. It's very normal for it to fluctuate from month to month, day to day. It also can fluctuate from lab to lab. Eva Zede has seen cases where a patient has been falsely reassured by the results of a test and decided against freezing her eggs, only to discover that the first AMH level was wrong, potentially the result of a lab error. The bottom line. If you're concerned about your fertility, both docs recommend talking to your OBGYN about a fertility workup. Eva Zede uses the acronym TUSHY, T-U-S-H-Y, to spell out the components she includes. T, for checking your fallopian tubes. U, for an ultrasound of the uterus. S, for semen analysis. H, for hormone testing. And Y, for your reproductive genetic profile. Sikon says that AMH tests she orders will be evaluated alongside other hormones, such as FSH and estradiol, as well as a pelvic ultrasound. I actually care way more about how the ovaries look, she says, adding that oftentimes an AMH test will be covered by insurance when ordered by your physician, versus the $100 plus you're likely to pay for an at-home version. There's also the question of quality with tests bought online. If a patient comes with a piece of paper or an app showing their direct-to-consumer AMH level test results, I don't even believe it. I would be a bad doctor if I only relied on that. So you've just spent however many hundreds of dollars to do a test that I'm going to repeat anyway. Sikon also advises against going to a clinic that's going to check your AMH and then just talk about egg freezing with one-track tunnel vision. Instead, she recommends seeing an OBGYN or fertility specialist who's going to talk to you about your medical history and family history and explain what issues to look out for once you start trying. So don't be seduced by the slick ads or soothing pastel-hued centers in your neighborhood. Talking to you, New York friends. I would question the validity of any individual doctor or company that makes AMH the focal point, concludes Sikon. It's one small tool that's so often taken out of context. As much as no one wants to hear it, there is a number you can look at easily to determine your likelihood of having a baby naturally, and that number is your age. This is the word of the week. Third space, why we all need our own version of Central Perk, by Shelby Copeland. Somewhere on our commutes from work to home and back again, we've lost an important stop in between, the third space. The third space is a broad term used to describe somewhere people spend their time that is not their first space, home, or second space, work or school. All the public and commercial spaces in your neighborhood qualify, from coffee shops to parks, libraries to community centers. Daniel A. Cox, Ph.D., the director of the Survey Center on American Life, has researched community spaces and how they relate to feelings of trust and connection. Remember the show Cheers? Cue the theme song. He uses it as an example to illustrate what that space can look like. Sure, on the surface, it's a cozy bar in Boston. But brass and leather furnishings aside, it was special because it allowed regulars to be recognized and welcomed. A really critical element is that a third space brings people together. There's a sense of gathering and being seen by other folks, Tuck says. Though the idea has been around for some time, it was sociologist Ray Oldenburg who introduced it as a concept in the 1980s. But post-lockdown, it makes sense that more people are craving a new hangout. If you're spending more hours working from home, you may not see as many people, Cox explains. Just talking to a barista in a coffee shop for a few minutes may help shift your perspective. Small talk gets a bad rap, but it's really important, he says. It allows us to build a connection that will eventually lead to more meaningful conversations. It's an entryway, and that's what a lot of these places are. Entryways to community. This article is from the relationships section. Anne Lamott, that's spelled L-A-M-O-T-T, believes that love is what our soul is made of and for. Even on our darkest days, it finds us and says, "Got a minute?" This article is by Anne Lamott. My husband said something a few years ago that I often quote. 80% of everything that is true and beautiful can be experienced on any 10-minute walk. Even in the darkest and most devastating times, love is nearby if you know what to look for. It does not always appear at first to be lovely, but instead may take the form of a hot mess, or a snoring old dog, or someone you have sworn to never, ever forgive, for a possibly very good reason, if you ask me. But mixed in will also be familiar signs of love. Wings, good-hearted people, cats when they're in the right mood, a spray of wildflowers, a cup of tea. What are we even talking about when we talk about love? What is it? I asked a 6-year-old friend of mine. Oh, it's just this stuff, he said, rolling his eyes. I think that's right. Love is caring, affection, and friendliness, of course. Compassion and a generous heart. It's also some kind of energy or vibration, because everything is the same stuff moving at different speeds from glaciers to 6-year-old boys. One thing is certain. Love is our only hope. Love springs from new life. Love springs from death. Love acts like Gandhi and our pets and Jesus and Mr. Bean and Mr. Rogers and Bette Midler. Love just won't be pinned down. Love is Florence Nightingale and Coyote Trickster, who messes with us by way of his teachings about how we might possibly, grudgingly, awaken to the glory of life. Love is the warmth we feel in the presence of a favorite aunt, the kindness of a waitress, and the warmth of the hand that pulls us back to our feet when the loss of love has all but destroyed us. It is this stuff which any kid and most poets will tell you we experience in our hearts. In a 10-minute walk from home the other day, I passed a house with a new baby, another with a recent death, and then 2 houses down a loud argument between a usually devoted couple, an English garden, an abandoned shack behind wood piles on a desolate lot, boxes of bees buzzing honey into existence, and terrified parents chasing after little kids careening away on their first 2-wheelers. I have lived in this neighborhood for nearly 2 decades, and I know every house on the block. I have nursed a woman and her small children through her way-too-early death, and been there for the family across the street when their 21-year-old child jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge. On our first date, I brought my future husband home to the house where, 7 years earlier, my 19-year-old son had brought home his first child. We helped raise my grandson in the tiny grassy park right across the street. I stood in the same street with my addict son in 2011 with a sharpened pencil held near his throat and told him he would not come back until he stopped using, and then welcomed him back a month later with 10 days clean and sober, 12 years ago tomorrow. I teach my Sunday school kids that love is God, and God is love. The God of my understanding is baffled by what isn't love. It's unfathomable to God to imagine not loving. The Dominican friar Timothy Radcliffe wrote that God can never tell you not to love someone. God can only tell you to do a better job loving someone. God is somewhat better at this than I. Love is interconnectedness. We grew up learning that tree roots are always competing for space and nutrients. But since then, we've learned that beneath the ground is a lacy network of communication and help. Redwood roots spread in shallow, interlaced webs barely under the surface, keeping any single tree straight against the wind. If one tree gets sick or harmed, other trees send it their nutrients and supplies. Love is a root system. Trees are better at this than I am. But I see all around me that we evolve slowly over time, often in community. The Jesuit Teilhard de Chardin believed that against all evidence, we are all evolving towards Christ consciousness. Love is evolutionary, survival of the species, not love is killing us. Love's loss is the source of most suffering, and then love transforms the suffering into depth, compassion, and the great painful gift of humility. I never love this. One day at a time, and sometimes 1 hour at a time, love will be enough to see us through, get us back on our feet, and dust us off. Love gives us a shot at becoming the person we were born to be, not the charming actor or bodyguard we became. Not us on our tight ropes holding our breath as we strive for greatness, or at any rate not falling on our butts. When all is said and done, and against all odds, love is sufficient unto the day. Could I be wrong? Obviously. But I don't think I am. Love is what our soul is made of and for. Love is a piece of toast and a diamond. It is a sturdy and imperfect shelter, all around you and deep inside, a lantern with warm, bracing light, a magician. When life has lost its promise or disappointed us one too many times, when it is hard to trust again or feel alive and curious again, love beckons us over and asks, "Got a minute?" What is there to lose? A lot. Familiarity, complacency, the illusion of control. And what is there to gain? A chance to loosen up and lighten up, and sometimes even live it up, a chance to feel the warmth of this gentle, wild, messy, holy world. So I'll ask you too. Got a minute? Accompanied with this article is the book Somehow Thoughts on Love by Anne Lamott. It's $22 at penguinrandomhouse.com. Parts of this article were edited due to time. So I read the first half of the 33 spring cleaning tips, and here is the second half. 16. Don't forget your cell phone. It may not be obvious, but studies show your phone is dirtier than both your toilet seat and the bottom of your shoe. Gross. Take the case off, swipe a disinfectant wipe over the entire surface of your phone, and then do the same thing to the case before replacing it. Alternatively, you can try this gadget, which kills 99.9% of bacteria using UV light. 17. Declutter the camera roll. While you've got your phone out, take a trip down memory lane to organize your photos and free up some memory space. While you're at it, you can even use a service like Scanny Phones or ScanMyPhones.com to digitize any old family pics or special mementos like the kids' best art projects. 18. Wash your pet's bed. Often overlooked as a source for dust mites, pet bedding is the perfect source for these allergen-causing creatures, says Kimberly Button, a well-accredited professional. Clean the bed in the washing machine on the highest setting possible. If your pet's bedding isn't machine washable, place the bed outdoors in the hot sun or freezing cold at least once every 2 weeks to keep dust mite colonies at bay. And consider upgrading to a pet bed like This one, it's made with 100% merino wood wool, a material resistant to dust mites. 19. Disinfect your trash can. In a small bowl, mix 1 cup white vinegar with 2 tablespoons of rubbing alcohol and 20 to 40 drops of tea tree or lemon eucalyptus essential oil. Then use a soft microfiber rag dipped in the mixture to clean every crevice. Pay particular attention to the hinges for the lid and foot pedal, using an old toothbrush or Q-tips if necessary, suggests Natalie Wise, author of The Modern Organic Home. 20. Steam clean furniture. Sitting on a couch or lounge chair exposes the fabric to heat, sweat, and flaked off skin. These are the elements that dust mites thrive on, says Button. Use a hot steamer during your deep clean, then take advantage of your vacuum's upholstery attachment at least once a week. 21. Flush kitchen and bathroom drains. To help keep drains clog-free, pour a cup of white distilled vinegar down them once every 2 weeks, staff. Allow the mixture to sit for a half hour, then run cold water to flush it out. When addressing the kitchen sink, don't forget the garbage disposal, says Jennifer Gregory, brand member of Molly Made, a neighborly company. Disconnect the power to use the unit, wear a pair of rubber gloves, and spray a paper towel with an all-purpose cleaner, and wipe down the unit until debris is removed. 22. Toss throw pillows in the dryer. Whether you actually use them or not, decorative pillows can be breeding grounds for dust mites, especially pillows that you use behind your back or underneath your neck, says Button. If possible, toss the pillows in a hot dryer to kill the dust mites. Alternatively, place them outside in the hot sun or in the freezer for a day. 23. Shampoo your car. To extend the life of your vehicle, give it a proper post-winter wash. First, vacuum accumulated dirt and dust from the rugs and mats, and then remove them from the vehicle and give them a thorough wash with car shampoo and clean water to remove any dried salt and mud buildups, says Michael Farah, East Coast Communications at Chevrolet. You'll also want to wash interior panels with warm water and an all-purpose cleaner. Use a glass-friendly household cleaner on mirrors and windows and declutter the glove compartment. 24. Electrostatic dust your blinds. Blinds tend to collect a lot of dust and grime, and because all those crevices are such a pain to clean, they often get neglected. First, use an electrostatic duster. Then use a soft microfiber cloth to wipe them clean with warm water and vinegar. Once dry, Gregory recommends wiping your blinds with dryer sheets to help repel dust. Clean your washer-dryer. We know that hard water and detergent residues contribute to wear and tear on your clothes, but your washing machine is a victim too, says Marley Nelson, co-founder of Branch Basics. Remove mineral and detergent residue by running 2 cups of white vinegar through a full hot water washing cycle without any clothes or detergent. If your washer is particularly dirty, repeat. Your dryer should be on the list too. Give your lint tray a good scrubbing with a brush, but then dig deeper and clean your dryer vent pipe, and hoses, she says. 26. Vacuum your mattress. Once all bedding is stripped, including the mattress skirt, vacuum the top and sides of the mattress using the upholstery attachment. If your mattress has any odor or showed signs of staining, sprinkle baking soda over the top of it and let sit for 30 minutes before vacuuming up. Finally, rotate the mattress 180 degrees. 27. Soap down the fridge. According to studies, food-borne illness occurs more frequently in home kitchens than it does in restaurants, and the bacteria lurking in your fridge could be partly to blame. To give this important appliance a thorough clean, start inside. Remove everything. Throw out any expired goods. Wash removable items like bins and shelves in warm, soapy water. Then wipe down the interior with a clean, soapy cloth. For stubborn stains, mix baking soda and water to form a paste. Be sure to wipe down the outside as well, including handles and door seals, with soapy water or stainless steel spray. Finally, clean coils, generally located on the bottom or back of the appliance, with the brush attachment of your vacuum cleaner. 28. Take a lint brush to your lamps. To clean, allow light fixtures to cool completely, unplug them, and unscrew the light bulb. It's probably quite dusty as well, so give it a good wipe with a dry rag, says Wise. Then vacuum the lampshade using the angle or upholstery tip. A lint brush is another great option for dust. Just roll it over the entire lampshade. 29. Treat your shower curtains to TLC. Remove fabric curtains and plastic curtain liners and put them in the washing machine with a towel for adding scrubbing action, says Gregory. Add a small amount of laundry detergent and run the cycle on warm-hot. Fabric curtains can generally go in the dryer on low. For a plastic liner, simply run a dry towel over it and rehang. 30. And scour the grout. You don't need harsh agents like bleach to tackle dirty bathroom tile. A homemade solution of warm water, 1/4 cup of vinegar, and 1 tablespoon of dish soap should do the trick, says staff. And don't be tempted to abandon those hard-to-reach crevices and grout lines located behind the toilet. An extendable scrubber helps you reach these germy spots without back strain or bruised knees. 31. Decrumb the toaster. For a lot of people, wiping the toaster externally and tossing the breadcrumbs is not cleaning enough, says Harriet Jones, cleaning and maintenance supervisor for Go Cleaners London. But to clean the toaster properly, you need to pull out the crumb tray and give it a wash. Then making sure the toaster is unplugged, clean inside with a small amount of soapy water. Using a toothbrush to tackle any hard-to-reach places, let dry thoroughly before plugging in again. 32. Organize your medicine cabinet. Remember to check expiration dates on your products at least twice a year, says staff. Skin care products, makeup brushes, soaps, and other personal care items do expire, generally anywhere from 6 months to a few years, based on product and usage. As a general rule, if it looks, smells, or feels weird, toss it. And don't forget to check any used travel-size beauty products, as leaving miniature plastic packets open can cause bacteria buildup, adds staff. 33. Erase wall scuffs. You can clear most scuffs with a light mixture of soap and water, says Kate Schulhoff, founder of Clean Bee. For tougher scuffs, use a magic eraser, and for anything truly stubborn, break out the paint. Over in culture and news, Kelly Ripa got riled up over this movie plot point, and live fans are divided. Who knew the daytime host had such strong opinions about Titanic? This article is by Adriana Friedman. It's been over 25 years since Titanic debuted in theaters, but Kelly Ripa is still angry about the biggest plot point of the movie. During a March 27 taping of Live with Kelly and Mark, the daytime TV personality brought up the news that someone bought the famous door prop used by Rose DeWitt Bukater, Kate Winslet, and Jack Dawson, Leonardo DiCaprio, in the film for a whopping $718,750. Sitting next to her husband and co-host Mark Consuelos, she didn't hold back her thoughts about whether both characters had the ability to fit on the makeshift raft. As she passionately expressed to the audience, she felt that both Rose and Jack would be able to float on the door. Somebody just auctioned off the Titanic door prop. You know, the one that Rose floated on, she began in a clip posted on Instagram, where clearly there was room for Jack, but for whatever reason she did not scoot over on the door and just watched him slip away. But that wasn't all Ripa had to say on the subject. She continued to relay her feelings about the pivotal plot point in Titanic, even saying how she always has the same thought whenever she has the chance to watch the film, which is seemingly often. I've seen the movie 10,000 times, and every time I'm like, just scooch over, she added. Like, I feel like if I yell, scooch over, enough, this time Kate Winslet will hear me. Although Ripa's unexpectedly heated rant garnered applause in the studio, fans were divided on social media. While many sided with her point of view, others were vehement about the opposing view. I've said that a million times too, moreover, LOL, one person wrote on Instagram. I said that hundreds of times myself, get him up on that door, a different follower added. I don't think the door would have stayed afloat with both of them on it, a separate commenter argued. It would have sank if two people were on it, another agreed. Even better? The person that bid on it said they want to see if two people can fit. Rippa added, I want to be there when this happens. And so the debate continues. Again, in culture and news, Hoda Kotb shared a rare video of her daughter Hope, and today fans are overjoyed. The TV host's youngest child appears happy and healthy after a health scare in 2023. This article was by Adriana Friedman. Fans may know Hoda Kotb for her long-standing career hosting the Today Show, but she's giving folks a rare look into what her life is like when not on camera. In a video uploaded on the news anchor's Instagram on March 27, Hoda gave a glimpse into mom life as she filmed her younger daughter Hope, Catherine. She shares Hope and older daughter Haley Joy with her ex-fiancé Joel Schiffman, riding a scooter around the neighborhood. As Hope wore a hot pink coat and a helmet adorned to look like a unicorn, Kotb showcased her daughter's love of music via her a cappella rendition of Katy Perry's hit song Firework. What's more, Kotb couldn't help but share the pride she has for the youngest member of her family. This makes me so happy, she affectionately captioned the snippet, Little Hopey. Given how Kotb doesn't often share private moments with her kids on social media, her Today co-workers couldn't get over how adorable Hope was on video. Sweet rainbow girl, Savannah Guthrie wrote in the comments. This just made my week, Chenille Jones added. Fans were equally obsessed with Hope's adorable singing. Talk about singing your heart out. Thank you for sharing this free concert. Loved it, one person penned. Sing it loud and proud, Hope, another exclaimed. Oh my goodness, too cute and such a great voice, a different follower replied. If that wasn't enough family content, Kotb gave fans another look at her daughter's bond with a sweet post updated on Instagram on April 1st as Haley and Hope posed for their mother in T-shirts bearing the Today with Hoda and Jenna logo. Kotb shared how much she loved having the girls' support in this manner. Represent, she sweetly wrote. Needless to say, these family updates make us so happy. We've run out of time for today's episode of OMPREP Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Carrie Lawson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.